listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace from God who creates and connects us, from Jesus who invites and reconnects us, and from the Holy Spirit who challenges and disconnects us from all that would knock us out of sync with this triune God. Amen. Truly I tell you, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, brother and sister, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Did you hear that? I mean, what do you do with that? How do you explain that? What does Jesus mean? I looked up some different translations that our biblical scholars have done over the years. I often refer to Eugene Peterson. He translated the entire Bible just a couple decades ago so that we can hear it with our modern ears. And he doesn't use that word hate. I don't know if it's helpful. I think we need to hold that word hate. It's a tough one. I think it can get us off track a little bit because I just don't want to listen anymore once you tell me I'm supposed to hate all these people that I love, right? But maybe there's more to this. Gene Peterson translates it, whoever refuses to let go of. He really wants to get at what's behind the Greek words. Whoever refuses to let go of. So I don't know if that works for you. I would put it like this, if there's anything or anyone stopping you from being a follower of Jesus, not just a believer or an admirer or a lover of Jesus, there's a difference between those things and actually getting up and following Jesus out into the world. Whoever gets in the way of that, then we are being called today to reject those relationships, those things, those people, as not life-giving, not resurrection-affirming, not gospel-centric, not justice-seeking, not unconditional love-sharing. We are called to reject those things, those people. We are called today to let go of all of them, all of that, just like we would reject sin, death, the devil, and all the forces that defy God, which is the kind of language that we say in our baptisms, in our baptismal liturgies. In other words, if your relationships, your possessions, your daily habits are preventing you from living more fully into that person that God is calling you to be, and in Luke's gospel, in Luke, that means part of a faithful community actively practicing mercy and justice in every way, in every aspect of our lives. If you are being prevented from that, then let the Holy Spirit sever those ties. I think we have to hear this on many levels, and it's something I think we have to wrestle with together as faithful people. This is not simple. I think we're invited this week to just consider our relationships, all kinds of relationships, particularly our relationships with people. Some of us have relationships with our parents, with aging parents. Some of us have members of our family who are increasingly becoming more debilitated. Some are moving into homes. Some of us with spouses who are terminally ill. Some of us with brothers or sisters who are draining our resources in their seemingly endless battles with addictions. We've got a whole array of relationships in our lives. Some of us have really good friends. And I think most of us probably have Facebook friends. You don't have to be on Facebook to have Facebook friends. You know this term, Facebook friends? You put it in quotes. I mean, we have lots of good Facebook friends on Facebook itself. But there are Facebook friends. These are the kinds of people that give you a thumbs up once in a while. But if tragedy strikes, they're really not the ones that are showing up for you. And God forbid, sometimes they even might even speak ill behind your back. They might give you nice accolades and be nice to you even online. But when it really comes down, they're not there. Facebook friends. We have all kinds of relationships in our lives. Think about your relationships, the relationships that you're in. I'm just giving a few examples here. I wonder if you've got members of your own family who are deeply hurtful and cruel to you, even though they say they love you. Are we to sever those ties? I think the question is, are those relationships life-giving? Think of all your relationships. Are they all life-giving? Is that relationship what you believe God is calling you to stay in? If not, are you able at least to name it if it's harmful or toxic? I heard an NPR interview a couple years ago. And you're just going to have to take my word for it. I've been trying to look up who it was who said this. And now I feel like the president. I'm not backing up my source here. But I heard this interview, and there was a neuroscientist, and she was promoting her book on this interview. And it was a book about severing ties with family, citing brain research that she had done. Cutting off relationships with family members, that the brains of people who were victims of serious and chronic, not emotional abuse, serious and chronic, not physical abuse, but serious and chronic emotional abuse and psychological abuse. So I'm not talking physical here. People who are victims of those kinds of abuse, psychological, emotional, they actually were showing evidence of brain damage. There were destroyed neural pathways, and there was a loss of brain cells. Abuse, in other words, causes brain damage, she was arguing, and she herself had been a victim and a survivor of abuse. So this scientist was actually promoting the severing of ties with one's toxic sources. Over and against the endless attempts to reconcile and accommodate. I imagine we all know about that somewhat. Those endless attempts of reconciling and trying to accommodate and keep those relationships. This was a very thought-provoking book, and I'm going to keep looking for it. And if you have it or know what I'm talking about, please let me know. I'm not saying that Jesus is calling us here and that's playing out in modern science, but I do think that this challenges us to imagine who and what our toxic sources are. And might we simply name them as toxic sources? Can we at least say, this person, or this habit, or this thing is not life-giving. It is not orienting me in the direction of God's call for me. It is preventing me from picking up the cross and following Jesus. And so, I'm going to sever ties with it. With this person, with him, with her. I'm not going to hang on to that toxicity. Now that's really interesting. It's interesting because it is not unheard of for people, particularly pastors and priests, to name those toxic sources precisely as one's cross to bear. There are cases, and I pray that you're not one of them, but I have known people who have experienced this. From a pastor, from a priest, I have known women who have been told that their situation at home of being abused by their husband is simply their cross to bear. And the priest then offers to pray for them in that cross to bear. Bearing a cross has nothing to do with being abused or surviving a toxic relationship. Bearing a cross is what happens when we're able to put down those things. Those things that might just mean to name them. Just name the toxic experience, the toxic relationship. Stop rationalizing or justifying it or sugarcoating it or making excuses for it or that person. Just call it what it is, toxic. And then we choose to pick up instead, to ingest instead what Christ is offering here. The cross of discipleship. We can do this, by the way, only with the help of God and with our community, as I say with the children. And we can do this from all kinds of places. See, I'm not just talking about letting go of the toxic relationships and then suddenly picking up and doing all kinds of amazing, radical global outreach efforts. Of course, that would be great. I would love it. What if we could all hop on a plane this afternoon, go down to the Bahamas, help with the relief efforts that are happening there? We can't all do those radical things after we put down whatever that toxic thing is in our lives. But friends, we can pick up our crosses and follow Jesus in all kinds of ways and from all kinds of places, even as we're homebound, even as we're bedridden, even as we're locked up in prison or in a hospital. We can pray for one another. We can pray fervently for the needs of the world. We can urge forgiveness and mercy like Paul did in this letter to Philemon in our second lesson. You know, he was in prison when he did that letter. He was locked up in prison. Paul was in prison, in other words, bearing his cross. We can speak words or write letters of encouragement, even in a horizontal position. So our sister Val, you know, Jay and Val Sharp aren't here today. Val was in the hospital this week. And we have good news that she's coming home this afternoon, so that's wonderful. But I had the opportunity to talk with her yesterday. So I had the opportunity to experience this yesterday. I went to go see Val to see what I could bring, to bring good words from Bethlehem, that she's certainly in the prayers of everyone here. I went over to the hospital to give her something, brought some prayers and things. You know what happened? I received something from Val, just in our time together, in our conversation. If you've ever talked with Val, I'm sure you've received something from her too. Words of encouragement and love and grace. Words of challenge. We can bear our crosses even in a hospital gown, even in a horizontal position. All of us are capable of carrying that cross that's on our forehead, that was on our forehead in our baptisms. Imagine if you received a letter from one of our homebound members here in this congregation, just greeting you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just greeting you and then encouraging you, complimenting you, something that you did. Somebody noticed that? What a gift. What a gift. Maybe even an encouragement to let go of something that you're hanging on to. Can you imagine if you got that letter in the mail, a physical letter, you opened up and read it? What a gift. Somebody picked up their cross, and you were the recipient of their faithfulness to Christ. Friends, we can pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. Even as our family lives, our professional lives are stretched in every direction, we can all do this. It doesn't have to be this radical, grandiose thing. Simple ways, but I think it starts with naming that toxic thing for what it is. That's why Jesus talks about this severing that might have to happen with those relationships that are not healthy. Name the toxic thing for what it is. Offer it up to God. Maybe give it up, but at least name it. And then pray for God to take you and mold you in a new way. God invites us, in fact, demands of us in this Luke and Jesus style characteristic. Jesus is sharp with us again in Luke's gospel. God invites us, demands of us today wholeness and authenticity, which means suffering and it means cross-bearing. And not everybody is willing to go there. In fact, most are not. A large crowd was following Jesus, you know, at the beginning. Jesus wasn't exactly thrilled about that. This huge crowd. Jesus didn't want big numbers. Jesus wanted people who were serious followers, willing to lay down their lives for the gospel. In short, and in the parlance of our times, Jesus is asking, are you for real? Are you for real? And we say, with God's help, yes, Lord. Will you pray with me? We say yes, Lord, to your call to discipleship, but we need your help. The way of the cross is frightening. It means sacrificing. It means changing and starting over and severing some ties. It means, God, forgiving. That's some robust activity, God, and we've got a lot of baggage. Some that's just distracting us and some that's actually holding us back from being your disciples to our fullest potential. Help us, O God. Help us shed our baggage. Help us sever our ties with all that is harmful to ourselves and to your mission. And thank you for making our wellness a part of your mission. Thank you for valuing our bodies and our minds and our souls. Thank you for valuing our life. Thank you for marking us with your cross again this day, calling us your children. Help us now to spread your good news to others. Help us to share and be humble. Give us direction and clarity of vision. In Jesus' name, amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.